Years back, a positive psychologist wrote a book on the types of happiness. He said there are four ways of finding happiness in life. There's the pleasant life, where you have nice sights, sounds, smells, tastes, gentle sensations. There's the good life, where you master skills. So that's the happiness, he said, of gratification, when you can see that you've mastered something you hadn't mastered before. The third level was the meaningful life. You feel that your life is serving a larger purpose. And fourth was the full life, when you were able to enjoy all three. He mentions Buddhism in the course of the book. They put it on the first level, just a life of pleasure. The only Buddhism he knew about was the mindfulness of savoring raisins and sipping tea. Finding pleasure in simple pleasures of life. He tried to be respectful, but he kept saying, this is all there is, it's just a low level of pleasure, low level of happiness. He was really misinformed, because the Buddha offers instructions on how to find all those levels of happiness to the nth degree, better than you can find anywhere else. There's a pleasure, he doesn't talk much about the pleasures aside from the pleasures that don't harm the mind, like the pleasures of wilderness. It's interesting to note that the Pali Canon contains some of the oldest wilderness poetry in the world. And some of it is attributed to Mahakasapa, who was the strictest of the Buddha's disciples. He talks about the pleasures, how the mind is refreshed when you go out into the wilds. There are waterfalls, birds, trees, even ladybugs. And it's important that we do find refreshment on the path. But it has to be a pleasure, as the Buddha said, that doesn't involve breaking the precepts and doesn't have a bad impact on the mind. He says if you indulge in a certain pleasure and you see that it's giving rise to unskillful mental states, you've got to stop. You have to stay away from that kind of pleasure. But if you see that no unskillful states are coming up, that's perfectly fine. It's the pleasure of wilderness, the pleasure of social harmony. These are good things to cultivate. They give us energy on the path. Gladdening the mind is an important part of the practice. And some of that is just in finding a good place to meditate where you feel at home, at ease. Refreshed by your surroundings. Of course, you can't make that a requirement, because there are times when you can't be in those refreshing places. That's when you try to find pleasure in other ways, like the pleasure of mastering a skill. Here we get into the area where the Buddha calls the six kinds of delight that nourish us on the path and can actually take us all the way. There's delight in the Dharma itself, having guidance that's been tested again and again and again over the centuries. Gives clear advice on what should and shouldn't be done. As the Buddha said, this was his first duty as a teacher. We are active beings. We're making choices all the time. But we come into life with that handbook. And the Buddha provides precisely the handbook we need. He doesn't leave death as a mystery. He doesn't leave the purpose of life as a mystery. He says you can make your purpose in life the end of suffering. The world itself as a whole has no purpose, which means that you're free to choose your purpose. And you want to choose a wise one. We've chosen some pretty unwise ones in the past. But here's some guidance on how to find a happiness that's totally harmless, totally unconditioned. We're responsible in our search for happiness when we follow the Dharma, so it's good to have that Dharma to back us up, to inform us. Then there's the delight in abandoning, delight in developing. This is what we're doing as we practice. And this comes under that, the good life, we're in a psychologist's schema, where we're mastering a skill. We're mastering the skill of meditation, the things we've got to give up, our fascination with our wandering thoughts. Because these wandering thoughts have taken us wandering for a long, long time. Actions don't just stay in the mind. They come out and they affect the world outside. Sometimes you hear some people saying karma is simply a matter of the mind affecting the mind. But that's not true. it affects the world around you. You've got to be careful about where your mind wanders. Let go of anything you know is unskillful. And delight in developing concentration, delight in developing mindfulness instead. Develop the right attitude towards the right effort on the path. Take joy in doing these things. When you see that you've been able to get past where you might ordinarily not be able to stay with the breath, but you were able to stick with it, take joy in that. Take joy in your developing skills. And the Buddha says also to delight in seclusion, the opportunity you have to focus direct attention on your mind with a minimum of distractions. That too is part of the skill, part of a good life. And there's the meaningful life. The last two objects of delight, the Buddha said, are delighting in the unafflicted and delighting in non-objectification. These are two names for nibbana. Our lives have direction, they have a purpose, they have a goal. This is what the Dharma is all about. As the Buddha said, the taste of all the Dharma is release. Just as the taste of all the water in the oceans is salty, the taste of all the Dharmas is release. They all come together at the goal. We're starting out in different places, but we're all heading in the right direction. That direction is unafflicted. In other words, there's no affliction there. You're not causing affliction to anybody else. We live in this world of so much affliction, so much cruelty, so much ill will, so much strife. It's good to know that we're heading in a direction that's not following the direction that a lot of other people seem to want to go. So delight in that fact. This gives meaning to your life. As for non-objectification, objectification is a translation for papancha. It's a term in Pali that's hard to translate. But in every case where the Buddha talks about it, it's always a type of thinking that leads to conflict. Conflict inside, conflict outside. So where we're heading is a place that has no conflict. Because it's nothing that you have to feed on. Nibbana doesn't require feeding, doesn't require taking anything away from anyone else. So your mind is free from inner conflict, free from outer conflict. It's a good goal to have. It's a meaningful goal to have. And it's something we should really delight in, that we're on this path. So it's a good path to be on, it's a good path, and that it's taking us to a good place. So you look at the way the Buddha teaches how we practice, you can see that it covers all the requisites for a full life. We have the pleasures of wilderness, the pleasures of harmony. We have the gratification of mastering the skills of the mind, mindfulness, concentration, discernment. We have the happiness of having meaning in our lives. You look at the universe, galaxies forming and dissolving, stars coming and then exploding, sending their matter, spewing out into space. Then the matter coalesces again and forms stars again, and it repeats the process over and over and over again. It's going nowhere. But we are going someplace. That someplace gives us genuine meaning. So these are the requisites for full life. And the Buddha gives the best examples, best recommendations for how to make this life totally full. So take advantage of those instructions while you can.